working that out. All right. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, reading 6 to 11. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Have you found that life is better when you do what Jesus instructs you to do?
Amen.
Amen? Yes. Well, they found that to be true as well. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are indeed mighty, mighty to save, mighty to transform, and mighty to meet us here, Lord, that you take our challenges, Lord, and that you turn them into opportunities, Lord. And so, Lord, many of us come in here this morning strapped with challenges, Lord, and we would ask that you would open the wide vistas, Lord, that are available in you, Lord, that we would come running after you, Lord, and that you would meet us in this place, transform our challenges. Just as Regina said, I was busted up when I came in this church, and I found some people that will care for me, Lord. We know that you care for us, Lord. And, Lord, we seek that this morning, knowing that you are mighty and that you are able. We ask all that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I got a thing I want to show you. And many of you have probably seen this thing. And it's about a ride. And sometimes our lives can seem like a ride. And these guys, I got an audio clip, and Jared's back there. He's going to help me with that. It's going to play in a second. I want to set this up. And these people are getting on this ride, and it's this lady and her son. And I think it's a son or a kid or whatever. And they're getting ready, and they're a little intimidated. Amen? And this thing, it's one of them bungee things, and it shoots them up in the air. And they start, and they are a little, you know, it's like, whoa! Now, you ever feel like your life is like that? Whoa! I'm seeing some people going, oh, yeah, I feel like that all the time, right? And then it's like, but then they go, okay, you know, it's like, okay, we're not going to die. Right? We're going to come through. That's going to be okay. And they are looking. Can you see? Can this come through okay? They're looking happy. Right?
No.
That is a smile on this. Now, I'll tell you what. When you hear this, right, you're going to hear this lady just laughing like crazy. Laughing like crazy. Sometimes your life feels like that, right? It's just like it's going good, right? And then, so, you know, and they're both. And this guy over here on the right, that's a smile. Believe me, I mean, I'm closer, I can see. It's a smile, okay? Now, then something drastic happens. Now, you can see joy in this lady, right? Does she not look joyous? Amen? There is no joy on this kid, right? And there is this point in our lives where sometimes joy departs. A little louder. You can see the fear, right? Now listen to the lady laughing. Now, I play that because sometimes our lives feel like it's just going so good. And sometimes we just want to jump off. Amen? We're talking about choices today. Choices that come to us in our Christian lives. Okay, you can take off now, bro. He's got to go to his class. Our Christian life often looks challenging and often looks blessings, blessed, right? I'm just like, hey, things are going on. You hear Eva, right, talking about things are so good. Things are so blessed. I'm just doing so great, right? And then you can hear sometimes, hey, you know, it's been challenging along the way. That I have been challenged. Anybody know what I'm... Anybody have any challenges going on this week? Amen? So yeah, I have had some challenges this week. And be it joy or be it challenge, there is a question. What are you going to do next? See, there's some people that are going to step ahead through the challenge, and there's some people that want to turn around and head back. This guy is screaming, get me off the ride! And there's sometimes a challenge is going to face you, and you're going to think, get me off. I just want to get away. Hey, Mike, we need to get that guy into class, buddy. Let's take him downstairs. All right, yes. Here's a guy who wants to get on the ride. Yes. See, there are some people who would run through some challenges in their life and they want to turn away from their walk with Christ. Easy way out. Actually, it turns out to be the long way out. It turns out to be the wrong choice. This is Palm Sunday. It is called that because the people cut down branches, palm branches, and put them in the road. They put their coats in the road before Jesus, and it was like laying out the red carpet. Here comes the king. And everybody was excited. It's like that the couple, when they're getting on the ride, going, oh, this is going to be good. And the issue is they did not understand the plan of God. See, things were going to be changing in the days following Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, and everybody in Jerusalem would have a choice to make. Would they continue on with the Lord, or would they turn around and head back? And God's people always face that choice. Amen? Talk about today is the next step. Are we good? Are we okay? All right. As they approached Jerusalem and they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And Jesus fulfills prophecy. Jesus fulfills prophecy. He knew what was going to be expected of the king as the king enters into Jerusalem. And he wanted to make sure. See, that donkey was more than just a ride. Because 400 years previously, can you think of 400 years ago? 400 years ago was the year 1611. Can you imagine San Diego 400 years ago? That is how long the prophecy was before. Let me give you the prophecy. The prophecy was Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Talking about Jerusalem. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And see, Jesus knew what was expected of the king when he showed up to Jerusalem. You would not... Now, how many of you guys have seen my Ford Explorer? Would you be surprised if to see our president ride up in my Ford Explorer? Yes. Why? Because the president has a limo, right? And when he shows up, and there's a look that is associated with the president when he shows up. And there was a look that was associated with the king as he shows up to Jerusalem. Does that make sense? Rook, you can turn that fan off for me, buddy. All right. Rejoice greatly, because your king is coming to you. Now, Jesus came, and he was making a declaration. He was showing up to claim his position in history. He says, in his prayer, John chapter 17, Righteous Father, the world does not know you. I know you, and they know that you have sent me. See, Jesus came to fulfill prophecy, and that's why he rode that donkey in. He fulfilled all kinds of prophecies. And as he is going to Jerusalem, as he is headed to the cross, as he is headed to crucifixion, as he is headed to being arrested and beaten, he is going to make a declaration of who he is. And he's making a declaration of who his father is. And he does that, why? Because he wanted the people to know who he was. And today he calls to you and he says, I want you to know who I am. Amen? He says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And you come here today and maybe you feel like Regina. Busted up. Maybe you can identify with Eva and how she was talking about how everything was all messed up last January and how things started getting better. Amen? Why do things get better? Because Jesus calls, the Holy Spirit calls you today and says, I want to have a relationship with you. Amen? All right. Point number P. People were waiting for a Savior. People were waiting for a Savior. Verses 9 through 11. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, to give you a little background on this, it was Passover time. And all over Palestine, people were walking to the Passover feast. It was required that all Jewish men would have to attend one of the major priests' feasts. This was one of the major feasts. So all over Palestine, people are walking or riding or whatever and heading to Jerusalem. And as they went, they would sing songs. And these lines here are from the songs that they would sing about the coming Messiah. So they're coming, right? They're coming to the, they're going to the feast, and they would sing the songs of the Son of David, the coming King, liberation, all this kind of stuff. Just like us. Today we sang a song. Today we sang a song, My Reward. Do you like that song?
Amen.
Yeah, it's a great song. And it talks about, Jesus, you are my reward. You are all I'm living for. He says, I am waiting to see your face on that day, and the twinkling of an eye will all be changed. You remember that part? You sang it, right? And what he's talking about is when Jesus comes back. And we sing this song, you're all I'm living for. I'm waiting to see your face on the day. I'm going to be transformed. And I'll tell you what, when he comes back, there's going to be some people that are surprised. And I hope it's not you. Because Jesus showed up to Jerusalem, they sang his songs, the King of David. Liberation is coming, all kinds of transformation is going to happen. And they missed him. They were looking for something else. So many people would rather have God be something else than what he is. John the Baptist. Jesus' cousin is in jail. He's put in jail by Herod the Great. And he ends up being killed. And he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one? This is his cousin, man. He knows who he is. The Holy Spirit pointed out Jesus to him. He knows who Jesus is. And he still says, are you the one? Or are we to look for somebody else? And this is how Jesus answers. He says, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. He says, go tell John what you see. He says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. Can I get a witness on that? Amen? I don't know how your taxes went, but, you know, hey. We're on the poor end of things around here. Good news, preach to the poor. And he says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. And Jesus says, I know what is expected of me. I know what I'm supposed to do. The deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Go tell John I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And John is sitting in his prison cell saying, I wish you'd let me out. And he says, that's not what I'm about today. And there's so many people that would like to redefine who God is. I would like God to be what I want him to be. I met this guy. I was with Reverend Mars and Aaron at Starbucks on Thursday, I think. And I saw this guy that I know. I said, hey, how you doing? I started talking to him. And he says, I'm reading this article about the will of God. Have you read it? A lot of, I got a got a book on decision making in the will of God. Who's it by? I don't know. And I go, what's it about? And he says, it's about God's judgment. Whether or not God judged Japan with that earthquake. And I said, we talked a little while. I'll give you just a synopsis of it. And I said, well, I don't think the earthquake was God's judgment. But I tell you what, God does do a lot of judging, and God does do a lot of disciplining. And he didn't like that. He said, well, to me, God is love, and God is merciful. I'm saying, yeah, that's good, but he's also just, and people have a problem with that just part. And I said, you know, I can relate. You know, God is love, God is mercy. You know, I'm glad you believe that. But I'm shooting for accuracy, not desire. He's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, God, is he big or is he little? He's looking at me, what are you talking about? I mean, love and mercy, right? Is he big in love and big mercy or little love, little mercy? I go, most people have a big God. I said, realistically, I said, look, that dude right there. There's this bald dude behind him, right, standing in line. I said, I could believe that's God. I could believe this table is God. Realistically, God exists independent of what I think. Are you tracking with me? You know what I'm talking about? And I said, what you believe is cool. But it's better to be accurate. I said, does your God talk? No. I said, you got a big, mighty, loving, and gracious God. He doesn't even know how to talk. Well, he talks through people. Oh, he can only talk through people. He can't talk independent of people. I said, here's the question, man. I said, if God is big and mighty and awesome, do you think he wants to communicate to you? Do you think he wants to communicate to me? Do you think he wants us to know who he is? Because if he does, we should be reading about what he says about himself, not making up the stuff we want him to be. Amen?
Amen.
He sent me an email, because he asked me for my email. And he sends me the article, and it wasn't a bad article. And he says, I respect your ideas, but it is that single-mindedness of religious doctrine that drives a lot of people away from the church. You know, God is who God is, man. I want to line up on who he is, not on who I want him to be. Can I get a witness? Amen? And what Jesus said, he says, look at what I'm doing, man. The deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. That's what God does, and that's what I'm doing. So you figure out who I am. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Point number two, progress is going to require change. I'll tell you what. How cold is that water, bro? Pretty cold, right? It's cold, right? See, there's some things you're going to have to go through. All kinds of people want us to have heated water. And Jesus hung on a cross for you. You might have to go through some cold water. I'll tell you what, it's not going to be the worst thing. There's going to be worse stuff than that cold water. Amen. Progress requires change. Progress requires change. Jesus entered the temple area. Now, it was a big old temple, man. Herod had just finished it, well, I don't know, 20 years earlier. And it's a big old area. Jesus enters the temple area. This is after he comes into Jerusalem, all that stuff. Drove out all who were buying and selling there. Now, we get a little bit more definition in some of the other Gospels where Jesus made a whip. I wasn't going to tell the guy about the whip, you know, loving and merciful and gracious. Yeah, what about the whip, you know? And he overturned the table. You know, how messy was the Lord? Overturned the money all over the place. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. He says, it is written. Jesus says, it is written. It's in the book. He says, my Father's house is going to be a house of prayer. And he says, you guys have made it into a den of robbers. There's some things that got to go, folks. Can I get a witness on that, please? I'll tell you what. You come to the Lord, there are some things that need to go in your life. Amen? God is going to come in. Jesus is going to come in and say, oh, we're going to make a change or two. Because if you're going to make some progress, you're going to have to make some changes. See, the Lord has some expectations. They are well publicized. The temple was made to be a place to meet with God. You brought sacrifices. It sounds so archaic. You brought live animals, and the priests would kill the animals and take the blood and put it on the altar and put it on the altar and the horns and the fire. What do you call the fire? Well, I'll think about it later. All right. But you put the blood on the altar and not on the furnace. It's not the furnace. But anyway, it would pay for your sin. Now, I'll tell you what. Our culture doesn't like to hear about sin. Our culture would tell you there's no such thing as sin. There's just choices. And there's just truth. And so, and it's like, no, don't be telling us about sin. And don't be telling us about there's a penalty for sin and there's a payment for sin. Bible tells us that the whole Old Testament sacrificial system is a reminder that you need to pay for sin. Well, we just don't even want to think about that. So what would happen is you'd bring your sacrifice and there would be a restoration of your relationship with God. You bring a lamb, sometimes a cow, sometimes an ox, sometimes a goat, sometimes a sheep. And they would give most of it back to you. Okay? I mean, Eddie, you got about 100 kids. No, you got 3 kids, right? And you got friends and stuff, right? So Eddie comes, and he brings his family, and it's the feast day, and he brings the lamb, right? And he brings it to the priest. The priests kill the lamb, and they give it back to Eddie. And they say, now your sins are paid for, man. And now you got this whole lamb. What are you going to do? You're going to cook it. And you're going to have a feast with your family and celebrate reconciliation with God. Is that not a cool system? Yes, Pastor, that's a great system. Yeah, man. I mean, they could have kept it all. Said, thank you. See ya. Go get some grain. No, man. They have barbecue, man. After church today, we got barbecue at Aaron's Grill. It's called Aaron's Grill because Aaron was the priest, the brother of Moses. And the fragrant offering came up. That's what we call Aaron's Grill. And you can come and you can celebrate reconciliation with God and hang out with your family. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. All right, hey, you're a visitor here today. I got your lunch today. If you're a second timer, I'm going to charge you $1 for a hamburger. But hey, today, you're free. All right. Progress retires change. There is opportunities for improvement. There are some things that got to go, and there's opportunities for improvement. Because the blind, verse 14 says, the blind and the lame came to Jesus at the temple, and he healed them. See, they knew that Jesus had solutions for the issues that they had. Amen? Amen. The blind came, and he came to Jesus. Why? Because he had solutions. The lame came to Jesus. Why? Because he had solutions. And you come in here today, and you have a problem in your life. You come here. Why? Because Jesus has solutions. Amen? You are encouraged because you hear the testimonies of those people getting baptized. Why? Because Jesus has solutions. They brought a blind man. Matthew tells us. Blind man comes before Jesus. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. And Jesus restores his sight. How cool is that? Leper comes and kneels before Jesus and says, if you are willing. Leprosy, man, you would be cast out. There was no cure. comes and kneels before Jesus and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reaches out and touches him. You know how long it would have been since somebody touched him? Nobody touched a leper. Because if you touched a leper, you were now unclean. And they'll put you, you know, kind of in isolation to see whether or not you got leprosy. And Jesus reaches out and says, I'm willing. Be clean. You come in here today. Palm Sunday. You got challenges in your life. You got opportunities in your life. You got barriers in your life. And the Lord is offering you a choice. Are you going to step ahead with me? Or are you going to turn around and go back? Every day you got a choice. Step ahead with the Lord or turn around and go back. The testimonies in the tank. Awesome. Eva sharing her testimony during offering. Awesome. I got an email from Gail about her study group on Wednesday night. And Eva and Roxy were in the group. And there was a lady who said, you know what? I really don't believe in the Lord. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. And Gail said, you know, I just was quiet. And Roxy began to share her testimony. And Eva began to share her testimony about the mighty works of God. And this is who Jesus is. And this is what God has done for me and me and me and me. We had a similar situation. Enrique, in my group, on Wednesday night, we're talking about the mighty works of God being revealed in his life. See, God has solutions. Jesus came and was on display, was fulfilling all the prophecies so he could indeed be the king. It is so incredible to work among you guys and just hear the incredible works of God of how he is transforming your lives. Amen? Amen. How many of you guys came to the men's breakfast yesterday? I heard it was just off the hook. Amen? Was it off the hook, Enrique? Yes? 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 Yeah. I didn't go to that thing. One, I'm getting ready for this morning. But the other thing is I just want to see you guys roll with it. It is awesome. If you're not going to that men's breakfast, 7:30, right? 7:30? It is time. You guys got to start showing up. It is good. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I got to, let's see. Change starts off looking pretty good, folks. Donuts. Oh, is it donuts? Next week you have bacon and eggs.
We have breakfast this week, but we have
Oh, okay. All right. All right, Jesus entered the temple courts. All right, so what do we got? We got Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday. We got him going in the temple courts, clearing out everything. And then he began to teach. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Change can create challenge, folks. Have you found that to be true? That as change happens in your life, there are those people that will often be resistant to the changes that the Lord is making in your life. See, there are many people who like things the way they are. There are many people who will like you the way you are and will not want you to change. Some people might be making money off you. There's going to be all kinds of reasons why they don't want you to change. I have found the greater the change, the greater the resistance. And when Jesus comes into your life, he wants to change everything. How much does he want to change you, Balthazar? Look at this guy. Put that arm up, buddy. Look at that. You got a big old scar. They got some surgery. He got Holy Ghost surgery up and down that arm. The Lord is putting him back together. See him? If you see him, out there walking on those handlebars. Man, you are tall, buddy. How tall are you? 6'4"? 6'4". I mean, he's tall out there on them climbing bars, and he is learning how to walk one more time. Amen? God has got some stuff. God will put you back together again. God will have you overcome your challenges, and there are some people around you that do not want those challenges to be met. Amen? They'll come along and they ask Jesus, who put you in charge? What gives you the right? Who gave you authority? I got a question for you today. Who's in charge of your life? Who has authority over your life? Do you make your own rules? Or do you follow Jesus' rules? Today, when you make a choice, are you going to be stepping towards the Lord, stepping ahead in the Lord? Or are you going to be turning back, turning away? Because every day, you got a choice to make. How was your choices this week? Step ahead, turn back. But it's because you can't follow the Lord and stay where you are. You're either moving ahead or you're moving back. Amen?
Amen.
All right, last thing. Continuing on with change. Now, this is so interesting. I find it interesting. I hope you do too. We're almost done, so we'll get you out of here soon. It's Umberto, right? Okay. How many? Give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Okay, we'll be here for another hour. All right, no. All right. All this stuff is going on, right? Right? He's teaching in the temple courts, and we have the Pharisees are bringing challenges and all that kind of stuff. And he talks about, and he tells a story. And he says, what do you think? What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. And he went to the first and he said, son, go to work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went to work. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. And Jesus asked a question. Which of the two did what his father wanted? And they answered. This is the Pharisees who are busting his chops. The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, the priests of the day, the religious leaders of the day, Jesus says to them, where? In the temple. And they're all dressed up in their fancy garb, and the people are all around Jesus. Why? Because he is famous. And he says to those priests, he says, I tell you the truth. Tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom ahead of you. I got to imagine they were not too happy with our Lord Jesus Christ on that day. Why does he put that in there? Why does Matthew write that there? It does not matter how you start, but how you finish. Amen? There's some people in this room that did not start well that are going to finish strong. Amen? There's, in my life, I did not meet the Lord until I was 29 years old. And then I got pretty radically transformed by His Spirit. There are some people that start off really good, and they never make it to the finish. Because one of those days when they come to the choice, you're going to continue on with the Lord or you're going to turn around. They turn around, and they are lost. See, we have opportunities to change our position. There are opportunities to step ahead and be found in the Lord. And we take a look at these Jews, and we see Jerusalem, and we see it is swollen to overflowing because of the feast. And they welcome Jesus. They put cloaks on the ground, they put their jackets on the ground, let Jesus ride over it on a donkey. They cut palm trees down and they put it on the ground. They say, welcome, King. And everything is looking so good. It's like these guys at the beginning of the ride, it's looking so good. But then expectations fail to be met. Messages become confused. Questions start to be asked, and there are those who begin to speak against our Lord Jesus. Friday comes, and the people are offered a choice. Do you want to continue on with this man who demands change? Or do you want to go back to the way it used to be? And the answer? Crucify him. We don't want him to be our king. See, there are many who say, we like it the way it was. I'd rather just go back. Today you have a choice. You can continue ahead in the Lord, or you can turn around and go back. Water baptism today. So many are saying, I choose to step ahead with the Lord. Right? Right? I choose to make a commitment. I choose to step ahead. And I choose to go through the challenges of life. Because when you make that commitment, when you choose obedience, there will be challenges that come. There will be disarray that comes in your life. The Lord did not promise you an easy ride, but he did promise you that he would be with you. Amen?
Yes.
See, there are challenges, and each day we have to choose. Are we going to go through the confusion? Are we going to go through the despair? And there are some that say yes, because our lives often look like this. And sometimes you look like this guy, and sometimes you look like this lady. But either way, you have the same choice. Because the Lord's not going to leave you on the ride. The Lord says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And if you will continue through the challenges, if you will continue through the disarray and the confusion, you will experience growth.
Amen.
You will experience intimacy with me, you will experience maturity, and you will experience fullness in your life. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lisa, would you come up and play a song for us? Some of you are here today and you are just celebrating the challenges that you have overcome this week. Hey, I need you to focus on me, guys. Barbecue will be in a minute. All right? Right now, the Holy Ghost wants to do a little bit of work. If you know the Lord is your Savior, I need you to pray right now, okay? Some of you have experienced great victory this week. You're thinking right now, it's so good. Challenging, but overcoming it. I just want to know, is that you? You had great victories this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, Lisa's going to play a song in a minute. And I want to pray with you. You're experiencing a great victory. Maybe you got the great challenges and you're feeling like that guy sliding out of that chair. But you're not giving up on the Lord, right? Maybe you're like that lady laughing and yeah, this is good. And you want to step ahead in the fullness of God. You're saying, I cannot wait till next week. We want to pray with you. We're going to have a minute and we're going to sing. And I want you to come. We want to anoint you with oil. Martin's going to come up and Gail come up. And just the if you need encouragement to overcome that massive obstacle. You know, and I know the Lord, man, it's just been a rough week. We want to pray and we want to anoint you. Maybe it has just been a fabulous week of victory and you're just saying, I want to celebrate the goodness of God. I want to just share that with somebody. And I want an anointing for that next challenge that's coming. Amen?
Amen.
We want to pray with you. Gail and Martin and I will be up here to pray with you. But maybe you are here today. And you have not yet turned your life over to the Lord. You come in here today and you don't even know why you're here. But this is not what you expected to hear. You're like that guy I met. Man, I like to make God look however I want. I didn't realize that he had expectations on me. I didn't realize that my life is in disarray because I've never lined up on him. He never even got on the ride. And today, the Lord is offering you a ticket. Those people get on the ride, take $20 on that thing. I don't know, $30. And you're not even in line. The Lord says to you this morning, my son, my daughter, I want to know you in a new way. I want you to be transformed in your life. Today, you can be new.
Yes, amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you first for those, Lord, that have overcome the mighty obstacles and come through the challenges of life and have moved through the despair, Lord, and the disarray and grabbing onto you, Lord, in a mighty way and just waiting in expectation for new challenges and mighty new changes in their lives. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that comes for greater growth and greater maturity that comes into the future. I thank you for the testimony of those who got baptized, for Eva's testimony, for those that are stepping ahead in you and can just shout from the mountaintops how good you are. And Lord, right now I pray for that person, those people that are here this morning. Maybe you turned back from the Lord, met the challenge and said, no, I'm going to go my own way. And maybe you have never, ever surrendered your life to the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. And you're really tripping. And the Lord says, don't be afraid. I'll save you. Many of these people in this room, I have already done this. I want to save you. I want you to turn your life over to me. I want you to trust me. And I want you to come to understand who I am. Nobody's looking around right now, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. He says, I want to make you a new creature. No more messing around. Time to surrender all and follow me. Lord, speak into your heart. Say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I don't want to go out the way I came in. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise your hand and say, that's me. Back there. Right here. Right here. 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 All over the place, all over the place, all over the place. You're saying, Lord, come and find me here, Lord. I don't want to turn away from you anymore, Lord. I want you to be my authority. Lord, I give you authority to come and make changes in my life.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, speak in your heart. You did not put your hand up before, but he's saying, I'm talking to you, child. Time to surrender it. Didn't put your hand up before. He's still talking to you. Just want you to slide your hand up right here, here, and there. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. I see your hand.